Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Overcoming Your Emotional Eating. Today's podcast is actually a call that I did with a client live on a pre-recorded line. Please know that when I do these calls, they are not modified for quality because of the fact that they are organic in nature. People come to the call and there may in fact be background noise that I can't control. What I do know, however, is that the content that comes organically out of these phone calls is imperative. It's amazing and it's impactful. And that, in fact, is why I like to put these out there for you all to listen and learn from. It's something I love to do and I've done for 28 years is helping people through their journey in order for them to become an overcomer. And live on today's call, I was talking with a client about trusting yourself. If you don't trust yourself, if you have gone back on your word with yourself a number of times, whether that be in your food, your eating, your relationship with your food, or in other aspects of your life, if you don't do what you say you're going to do with yourself, how do you trust yourself? And therein lies the issue with the foundation of how to move forward realistically. Take a listen to see what you can learn about my conversation with this client that was really impactful and super amazing. And I absolutely think you would benefit from listening. So go ahead and take a listen. And thank you so much for joining me once again.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to figure out who you are, how do you know you're telling yourself the truth? I mean, how do you know you're not seeing some distorted picture of yourself? Or don't people have to tell you what they see in you to get that image? I mean, how do you, does this make sense at all what I'm asking?
Yes, it does make sense. So let me just see if I understand what you're asking.
If you don't trust yourself to tell yourself the right thing about yourself.
Right. Got it. And that, because that's what I was hearing underneath that, right? Was about self-trust.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So do you trust yourself?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell myself, I think I like this about myself, but then it's like, is this real or is this just me wanting to be that way? You know? And I do that all the time.
When did you stop trusting yourself?
I don't think I ever did. Yep. I think I've gotten better. Actually, as a teenager, I hated myself and I was very, very, very shy. And didn't think anybody else could possibly like me, you know, and I know I've gotten better, but I still deal with that kind of thing. And listening to you talk, thank you very much, it made me realize that that's what's going on. I don't trust myself to tell myself what's good about me.
Right. Yes. So, which is an excellent point, right? You do have to trust. You have to trust yourself in order to listen to yourself, just like we have to trust other people in order to listen to them, right? Like don't trust an extortionist with your money. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the first piece then for you would be learning to trust yourself again.
Yeah. How do I do that?
Yeah. Well, do you know where the bond was broken? Like if we take trust and we put it outside of ourselves for a minute, why do we trust other people?
I don't know.
Okay.
But that's what I've always depended on, is somebody, if in the rare instance that somebody says something positive about me, it's like, oh, well, that was nice to hear, but then I don't know if I believe that or not. You know, it's like if I hear it from several people, then maybe it's true. But how do you get that inside ability to tell yourself that and believe it?
Because first you have to trust yourself. Right. Yeah. No, you're right. Because you're absolutely right. First you have to build the trust within you, right? Because if you don't trust yourself, you're kind of like, if you think about trees, right, you're kind of like a weeping willow. You know how the breeze comes and blows it one way and then the other and then another.
Right.
You know, you don't, because it depends on what somebody else is telling you. If you really trust yourself, then you're like a big, strong oak tree. Doesn't move that much. It'll hear it.
I want to be like that. Yeah. I want to be like that, but I don't know how to get there. And I'm 68 years old. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. So, okay. So I'll tell you the short road and the long road. How's that? Or we can say the short road and the longer road. And sometimes these two roads have to converge together. Okay.
Okay.
So short road, and what many kind of coaching principles teach is, so you make the decision today that you're going to trust yourself, and you start to develop beliefs that go behind you trusting yourself. Right? That's the short road. And there are some steps to the short road, but I'm just kind of giving you some insight, right? I believe the short road and this longer road that I'm going to tell you about can really converge to actually make the best path. But the truth is, when we identify, okay, like, wow, I totally don't trust myself. Well, one, you can sit back and think about, where did I stop trusting myself? And when did I stop trusting myself, and why? Because that can give you insight, right? It can give you insight as to where did it go. Because we're born innately trusting ourselves. Like, when we're born and we get hungry, we just cry. Like, we trust the hunger and we just scream, right? We got a poop in our diaper. We trust that it feels yucky. We yell. Like that. So when we're born with self-trust. It goes away when we move into external environment, or if we have parents that teach us not to trust ourselves. Oh, you don't really feel that way. No, you can't feel that way. But you're like, I really feel that way. Right? Like that can be part of it. It can also be when we do things in the world that go against our innate compass. So, for example, oh my gosh, I was just talking about this, and I forget who I was talking about this with. I actually think, oddly enough, it was a group of girl teenagers that my daughter hangs out with. I have these really great conversations now with 17-year-olds a lot, which is super fun. But we were talking about, they know a girl that wants to be a stripper. Because in my neck of the woods, you can make about $2,000 a night. It's a pretty good wage. But you know what you give up? Your self-worth, your self-love, and your self-trust. So you literally trade your soul for $2,000 a night. And so that happens for many people during childhood and adolescence, is that we do things against our moral compass and our moral values, which disenables us to trust ourselves because we've done it. So for you, it might be just thinking back to, where did that self-trust go awry? Because we are born with it. So where did it go off kilter for you? And then what would it take for you to get it back now? Like, could you make the decision, okay, you know, I don't trust myself. I'm going to trust myself. And here's why I'm trustworthy. I'm trustworthy because, and I don't know you personally, but that's where I'd kind of be making a list. Like, do you, if we think about trust, right, a lot of people validate trust or find trust in people who do what they say they're going to do. So are you congruent, and do you say what you're going to do? And if you don't do what you say you're going to do you have a reason for not doing it? Because sometimes we need to take a step back and reconfigure. There's no problem with that, right?
Okay.
So when we think about trust, that's one kind of core concept that comes up for many people is like, oh, I trust her because she's always there for me. She does what she says she's going to do. She never hurts me. And how many of us can say that we haven't ever hurt ourselves? Not so much physically, but mentally or emotionally. So can you forgive yourself for the times maybe where you haven't been kind? Because that's the other thing about trust, right? We know that trust can be broken and trust can be repaired, but you got to have forgiveness in there to do it. And I think many people are stuck in not forgiving themselves, which then disenables you from trusting yourself. Because you can't have one without the other. So that would be your journey of learning how to trust yourself.
This is not a one and done thing, is it? It's an everyday, minute by minute thing.
At first. Here's the thing. I don't think there's anything that's one and done in this world. Except maybe getting pregnant, but that's a whole other story for another conversation. But beyond that, there isn't really much that's one and done because life is a journey and it's a process. And even for the people I've worked with that have gotten to the lowest of low points, I've worked with some people who have gotten really low in their addictions, in their eating disorders. And even for those people, even in making the decision of I'm going to get better, whatever that meant for them, there still are moments of falter. Even if you make the decision. So it's about making the decision and staying the course and then learning about yourself in the process and learning to forgive yourself. And then also, we're kind of taught, not kind of, we are really taught. We're taught culturally like not to pat ourselves on the back, which is super strange to me. We are so taught, especially as females. Right?
And I think might be the problem. I remember my mom visiting and my kids were doing really well and she goes, well, you don't want them to get a swelled head, so you know it was like an eye opener to me. It was like, why wouldn't you tell them they're doing well and isn't this great, and you know, but she didn't want to go there. So I'm wondering if that, you know, she didn't want us to get swelled heads, so she did it the opposite, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, so which is kind of this interesting cultural piece for us, right? Like other cultures are not like Americans when it comes to that piece, honestly. And I don't know why we're like that. I don't really understand. I'm sure if I found that, I don't know. I'm sure there's some sociological reason for it. I don't get it. Because I think it innately really, really hurts us. Both genders. I see it more with females, but that's because I work a lot more with females. But the reality is telling yourself that you did something good is not about getting a swollen head. It's not about an ego. It's about just saying, here's what I do good in the world. And isn't it great to know your strengths? Because then you can expand upon them and bring them into the world even more. So for you, maybe that's where you begin, in just recognizing every day what you've done, right? That's good and right and just and fair and beautiful and kind and loving and giving and right and just recognizing it.
Okay.
Because maybe for you that's a core. Right, from what I'm hearing, that's a core piece that was missed. And then you can start to really then see a little bit more of who you are and give yourself some commendation, which then can lead to liking yourself, right? Which then, so it's kind of like dating yourself, you know what I mean? Find out who, what you are, and then you like that, and then you find out more about who you are, and then you love that.
Okay.
And you develop that tree trunk of that oak tree that's strong and solid and sturdy in trusting yourself. Because the truth is, here's the real truth. If we're absolutely truthful with ourselves, we don't lie to ourselves. Unless you're in an addiction. Listen, if you are an addict, I'm not speaking to you. Because that's another level. But if you're not in an addiction, it's rare.
I am. I'm addicted to sugar. I'm addicted to food. I know I use it, you know, to feel better. So,
you and
I am an addict.
So I'm going to tell you that's where the self-trust is degrading. Because here's my guess. If you tell yourself that you're not going to eat something with sugar, I'm not going to eat it today, I'm not going to do it, I'm a sugar addict, I know I'm a sugar addict, I know I need to stay away, I know I need to be abstinent. And then you cave. And you give in. The trust right there is degraded.
Okay.
Which is why I don't recommend ever, ever saying that.
Okay.
If you call yourself a sugar addict and you put yourself in the box, the truth is it's easy for you to degrade that trust, right? Because you set yourself up for that. I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have that. I'm a sugar addict. I can't handle it. I'm going to be abstinent. It is my problem with OA, because I believe that if we don't have love and compassion with ourselves and we don't just say, here's my journey with food and here's how I'm going to work with it or manage it, and if I fall and I eat that cookie, I'll figure out why I ate it. I'll figure it out. I'll learn the lesson. Because you see, if you go through life learning lessons, you got a lot of trust for yourself to learn the next lesson and the next lesson. As opposed to the abstinence theory, so to speak.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.